X11. Number 2B.
Yeah? When we come to the next tone principle, which says, though gathering new energy, this idea cannot injure its youthful surroundings in the travail of spiritual birth. Can you hear the touch of principle? Though gathering new energy. See, principle always gathers every idea and governs these ideas. Though gathering new energy, this idea cannot injure what? Its useful surrounding. It will injure its unuseful surrounding. It will injure its unuseful surrounding. And we better give in. We better don't oppose it. We better accept it. Or we begin to have a very painful birth. Very painful. It will injure its useful surroundings. Thank God it does. It will injure its unuseful surroundings, but it will not injure its useful surroundings. So in your inner struggle, when you see things happen, when this idea gathers energies, a new energy, because you feel that this idea which we have entertained in consciousness after a while begins to work. And it begins to work, and it begins to work very definitely and very distinctly. And it begins to overturn and to overturn and to overturn and to overturn and to overturn. And we better give in and don't resist it. Because it overturns, because it wants to put everything out of the way that does not belong to that new birth and to the new idea. But in this struggle we can be so happy and so calm and so feel so blessed because we know it will only take away from us what finally, divinely, does not belong to us. It will take away from us only that which will always be a hindrance in our way, which always will somehow be an opposition. And so we should welcome the overturning and overturning which takes away the unuseful surrounding, because we can rest assured in the operation of principle that it will always bring out that which is divinely right. And this needs courage, see. To go along Christian Science, to go along any spiritual idea, needs a whole man. It needs courage. It needs spiritual courage. Because we do not know humanly where it will lead us. We only know spiritually where it will lead us, but not humanly. But what we experience are the human signs on the way. And we can mistake them, we can misinterpret them. But if we know something about the birth, we let these things happen. That seems humanly to be overturning, humanly seems that we lose something. Because we know that it will not injure that which will help us, which is necessary for us, which is important for us, which supports us, which maintains us. It will take nothing away of that. It is not true that if one goes along the line of spiritual birth and spiritual development, that we will lose anything that is right. We will always use everything that does not belong to us. And therefore, again, it is a question, do I accept it or do I resist it? Humanly, it may be bitter. Divinely, it's always a big promise. So we better go and lean on the side of the divine promise than to cling to the human and to the human concept. So can you see what you do? You know, if I think about it and pray about it, I just see this idea gathers new energy. What does it mean that it gathers new energy? I begin to see that an idea has always the energy of the entire God. As the energy, therefore, of all the seven synonymous terms. And I begin to see, all right, this idea is therefore not my idea, not dependent on my energies, not dependent on my faculties, it's God's energies. Therefore I see as mind, it is God-empowered. That idea is God-empowered. And I see as spirit, it is God unfolded and strengthened. And I see as soul that it is God-blessed. And as principle, I see that it is God-governed. And as an idea of life, I see it is God-exalted. And as an idea of truth, I see that idea is God-conscious. Can only be conscious of the human loss. And that idea as love is God impelled to fulfill its plan. I don't have to delineate the plan and design. God will do it. He knows it. And so can you see that I can put all my trust in the seven synonymous term and their energies, their divine energies. Then Mr. Zeddy goes on to the next one, to life, and says, a spiritual idea has not a single element of error. You hear that repeated in the Christian Science field over and over and over. It's so nice to say that. A spiritual idea has not a single element of error. And this truth removes properly whatever is offensive. That they don't like. First part they like to state, and the second part they don't like to experience. But we have to take the whole. We have to be very consistent and say, now what is happening? And we can see that if that idea gathers more energy, then it gathers the life impulsion, it gathers the life power that says, this idea is like a bulldozer. It comes and comes and comes and goes over every error. It removes every error because it has no error in itself. So that the impulsion of life has not a single element of error, but this removes everything that is offensive. And so we experience the removal of everything that is offensive. And again we have to say yes to it and not try to oppose it, not try to fight it. Not try to say animomagnetism is at work. Here we have to say the Christ idea is at work. You know, Christian scientists like to say the animomagnetism is at work when something happens which they humanly do not like. But over and over Mrs. Eddy would say that the Christ wounds to heal. But it only wounds if we resist it. If we don't resist it, it never wounds. It only heals and establishes a truth. So this truth removes, that's quite interesting to see what she says, removes properly what is offensive. Meaning it removes it in such a way that it is right, that it is adapted to the situation, that we can stand it, that it is not asking too much of us, that it is in a way, in an ordered way that is possible, that is feasible, that is workable, that is really showing that never is anything demanded of us which is too big for us to fulfill. That no problem will touch us that is bigger than what we are and what we can master. So there is nothing that is bigger than our understanding. You know how the prophet Nahum shows that so clearly, that there is no error that is bigger than the divine idea. Every error can fall under the idea. It's all a matter of us. Can we keep the idea pure? Can we keep it pure? You see, it has all the tone of spirit in the whole paragraph obstetrics of the virgin sense, of the sense of purity, of motive, the purity of consciousness. Do we stay with the idea or not? Then Mrs. Eddy goes on to truth and says, the new idea, conceived and born of truth and love, is clad in white garment. We know from the study of our synonymous term that truth is always the form, the perfect form, that was always symbolized through a vesture clad in white garment, the vesture of truth, the garment of truth, because the vesture and the garment would always be the gestalt, the form of truth, the wholeness of truth. And it shows here so beautifully, it's clad how? In white garment. Now in the Bible, white was always standing for the seven-hued white. It's always the sum total of the seven fundamental colors. Because you know, if you have the seven fundamental colors and you let them rotate, you only see white and not the color. So white is, so to say, the super color of the seven, meaning we are clad in all the seven, in all the ideas of the seven synonymous term. So if we see that, what she says, the new idea, when conceived and born of truth and love. Now what is truth and love? You see, what kind of a consciousness do we have when we ponder this birth and then we go out and see it's born of truth and love. Now it's no more born of mind and spirit. It's now born of truth and love. What does it mean? The idea is at the point of truth and love. The idea is at the point of consciousness, truth of consciousness that knows the whole plane of love, truth and love. Or you can see other combinations of truth and love. You can see the idea is born of the whole ideal of truth. Whole ideal of truth, which is already at the point of fulfillment in love. Or you can see the idea is born of the true manhood of truth, the stature and fullness of the Christ manhood in truth, which is always fulfilled already in love. So you go out that the idea has not to be brought forth anymore, but that the idea has been established from of old. Before Abraham was, the idea was. Before Abraham was, the facts of being, truth, were established in its completion and fulfillment and perfection, love. So you go out from truth and love, but it says the new idea conceived of that consciousness of perfection, truth and love, is clad in white garment. And so you can say, what is that ideal truth at the point of fulfillment? It's clad in white garment. And again I can see, alright, that idea from eternity to eternity had always the qualities of the seven. They were always mind-empowered, that idea. Mind-conceived, mind-empowered, that idea that is being brought forth is always of the nature of spirit, is always spirit unfolded, spirit ordered. It's always of the nature of soul, it's always soul-named, soul-blessed, soul-identified, soul made safe through soul. That idea is always of the nature of principle. It's always principle operated. Never man operated. It's always principle operated. It's always life eternalized, life sustained, life provided. It's always of the nature of truth. That idea, I can see, must have the nature of truth. Therefore, it's always truth conscious and not humanly conscious. It's always therefore that cosmic consciousness, that super consciousness of the divine system of reference. And I see it as an idea of love. I can see it is always love planned. Right from the beginning. Right from the beginning it has that goal causality within itself, which just has that telefinalistic drive to fulfill what it is destined to fulfill. And so I know the idea works by itself. Then it's clad in white garment. Then I can go on in my consciousness and see, yes, but its beginning will be meek. Its growth sturdy, and its maturity undecaying. Then I'm just there and see, all right, don't give up hope. Don't feel frustrated. The idea is always first meek. When an idea is born to consciousness, it is unrecognized. It is unseen. Nobody throws up the hat and say, hello, here the wonderful thing has happened. They pass by and don't notice it. It's unnoticed. It's meek. But it's there. It's only a question, are we mother enough not to let these arguments come in, that it is not big, that it is just an insignificant child? Do we have the mother quality that we see it's a big child? Do we have the quality to feel to be a mother, big with child, and a big child, the biggest child? How can an idea be small? How can an idea be less than the infinite? How can we give birth to something which is insignificant? It's impossible. If we have a mother's sense, we stick to it. We know its promise. We anticipate its fulfillment as a promise. We know it right from the beginning, that generations will call us blessed, just as Mary. Then we nurture that meek motion of the idea, knowing that the idea will be sturdy in its growth, that the idea as it grows has within itself power and the strength to grow and to stand for itself and to speak for itself and to operate by itself and to stand against the wind and to stand against the opposition and pull through every opposition. It's sturdy, its growth. Healthy its growth. And then you have the wonderful promise, and its idea is undecaying. It's not something that comes and goes. Something that will stay in eternity. And we build eternity. If you have that mother sense, then the idea will grow that way without much pain, and it will be a happy birth. It will be a birth of promise. And then finally, Mrs. Eddy will show, if we have that mother sense, when this new birth takes place, and it happens, when it takes place, the Christian Science infant, it's not the Christian Scientist's infant, it's the idea of Christian Science, the idea of divine science, is born of the Spirit. Then it is born of the Spirit. If we have kept it pure up to this point, if we have seen it that the idea is born of truth and love in white garment, and therefore had that purity sense of keeping it white, of keeping it unsullied from material conception, we keep it pure in its spiritual conception, if we don't let it be marred by any suggestion, defaced by any suggestion, if we keep that idea pure, then it is born of Spirit, of the purity of Spirit, born of God, and can cause the mother no more suffering. The idea will take over and will speak for itself, and it can no more cause any suffering. Because then when the idea is born of Spirit, it is born of what? Then it is really born in the ordered sequence of Spirit, in the ordered development of Spirit, in the ordered step-by-step development of Spirit. It's born of Spirit, of the purity of Spirit, the strength of Spirit that can withstand every opposition. It's born really of the richness of the fruits of Spirit, of the substance of Spirit. It stands by itself. and so you feel that the idea really is born in its purity and can cause the mother no more suffering, because it has no more duality in itself. If an idea is born of spirit, it is free from duality. If an idea is free from duality, it can cause no more suffering, can bring up no more crisis, no more a chemicalization, no more a warfare, no more a struggle, no more an opposition. The accuser is no more there. There's nothing that speaks against it anymore. And somehow something in us becomes peaceful, restful, trustful, and knows that nothing can stop the fulfillment of that idea. Yes. By this, he goes on, we know that truth is here, again truth, and has fulfilled love its perfect work. Truth is now seen as love. The work of truth is now at the point of perfection, of fulfillment. It's really there where we can see nothing can stop it anymore. Yes, this is the passage on obstetrics. Can you see how the idea develops through the seven synonymous terms, so that if we know the word order, we really can go along this birth very easily and can entertain that idea wherever we are. We don't have to have the text in front of us. The text has just shown us the method, and has shown us in the word order how this idea can be brought forth. So every time we study and approach any subject, especially our study, I would say, because that's the biggest thing we do, we really can approach it from the point of view that mind tells us, I know everything. There is nothing unknown to the divine mind. Teacher and student know exactly what mind knows. But in order to keep it pure, we have to detach all material thought from its material conception. This is the main point. There we really have to pull up our socks and be strong and say, now here is the decision, the point of decision, the point of no return. I am no more going back to the old conceptions. I have really seen now that I only have to allow spiritual conception to rule my consciousness. Then that has within itself the divine ability to bring forth that clear-cut, definite idea so that the idea is safe. When it is safe, we can see that it gathers energies, because it's an idea of principle, and principle has infinite ideas, so it will gather all energies and say, I give to that idea all the energies, everything that the idea needs, I give to that idea, so that nothing can harm that idea anymore. And it will take away from us everything that is hindering the divine birth. And we should say yes to it and not refuse it. And in this way, really, we begin to see how the spiritual idea itself carries within itself its own ability to give birth. We don't have to give birth to anything. Mrs. Eddy says the teacher and student should be familiar with the obstetrics taught by the signs to attend properly the birth of the new child or divine idea. What is that divine idea? What is the biggest sense of the divine idea? I guess it is divine signs. Just as we have seen that Mrs. Eddy said, Jesus did not need to discover the divine signs, but born of the flesh, we have to discover it. Woman must give it birth. What does it mean? It means that we should lose that sense that there is a God who is the creator, and that brings man to birth. This is a mystical concept. There is in being no such a thing as a God and man. In the being there is only the divine principle that brings forth principle's own ideas. And therefore Mrs. Zeddy tries here and there to introduce the real birth. Where she says, for instance, the time cometh when the spiritual origin of man. What is the spiritual origin of man? Not God. God is a mystical name for something. She says, when the spiritual origin of man, comma, the divine science which ushered Jesus into human presence will be understood and demonstrated. From my students' day on, I took this for true. And I quit right at that time that I am born of God. I didn't want any more a mystical God as my ancestry. I wanted to have divine science as my ancestry, as my parent mind. I wanted to see that I am ushered into human presence by divine science and not by a mystical God. And I could see that if divine science ushers me into human presence, what comes into human presence is not a mortal, is not even a man, is not even man. It is the understanding of divine science. Yeah? Is that our nature? To understand being? Is understanding being our identity of being? I would say yes. And the sooner we drop that funny sense of a mystical concept called God, which Mrs. Eddy says is only a name, and the sooner we drop that mystical concept of a man, which Mrs. Eddy said it's only a family name, the better. Then we really detach mortal thought from a mortal conception of a supreme being, and we detach mortal thought from the concept that there are men, and we detach it to the point where we only see the principle expresses itself as ideas. And because it's a principle, it expresses itself as the idea of divine science. If we have divine science, we have everything. We have much more than the concept of man. Okay, this is obstetrics.